I'm Vermont Edition producer Sam Gale Rosen. This podcast has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Tomorrow will mark day 21 of the partial government shutdown that began in late December. Despite a speech the president gave to the nation from the Oval Office on Tuesday and a response from Democratic lawmakers, there hasn't been much movement in public opinion or political action. Yesterday, a meeting between the president and those same Democratic leaders ended abruptly with no budging from either side. Meanwhile, nearly 800,000 federal workers are either furloughed or working without pay. For many Americans, payday is tomorrow, but it won't be for them. In Vermont, estimates suggest close to 700 workers are directly affected, and more people are feeling the effects. In a floor statement today noting the 20th day of the shutdown, Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy says he's heard from dozens of Vermonters who say they're suffering, and he shared the stories of a couple of them. I asked on Twitter for Vermonters to share their experiences, and Margaret got in touch with me. She says she's a law enforcement specialist with ICE, working since 2001, and she works at the Law Enforcement Support Center in Williston. She's working without pay at the moment, and she says she's frustrated that Americans who aren't affected don't seem to see this as a high priority. She wrote to me, quote, "I have been through this game before, but this time is way different. Hearing the president actually say that he will keep the government closed is very disappointing, disturbing, and disrespectful. In my book, it's immoral to use workers as game pieces in their game. It's also disturbing that citizens don't really care until it interferes with their vacation trip to some national park." I asked Margaret how she's covering her costs, and she says right now she's relying on savings to pay bills and essentials. "In my situation," she says, "my husband had a stroke 3 years ago, so he's on disability. Without him, I'd be sunk already." And Margaret says she hopes people will contact their elected representatives, as those dozens have already done with Senator Leahy, to tell them they need to get the government open. Dan D'Ambrosio is a business reporter for the Burlington Free Press and has been looking at some of these sort of big scale picture things in Vermont with the shutdown, and he's with us now. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jane.
So I mentioned nearly 700 workers directly affected in Vermont by this government shutdown. Do you know what sectors they're in and how many of them are working without pay and how many are actually furloughed?
Well, I don't know exactly all the sectors they're in. And I think if they're not working, they are working without pay. We do know that. The number came from the Center for American Progress, which is a think tank in Washington, D.C., and Peter Welch has been using that number when he's talking to reporters. I do know some of the agencies that say they are not affected, one of which is the Veterans Agency. Let me see here.
Yeah, I think Department of Veterans Affairs has about 1,200 people.
1,200 people, and I was told by the spokeswoman there that they're already funded for 2019, so there would be, as she put it, no hiccups in the benefits and services for veterans.
Because it's important to remember that this is a partial government shutdown, and some areas of the federal government are open for business. And so, you know, with 3,000 federal employees in Vermont, only about 700 of them are facing the direct consequences of this government shutdown.
Yeah, that's right. The numbers I've been hearing, they're saying about 25%, you know, of the agency. But the effects are still extensive. And we focused on farmers because they've already been suffering so much, you know, for the past 4 or 5 years with bad milk prices, low milk prices. And what's happening to them is not large in dollar amount, but it's, you know, it's just yet another thing. They were getting payments from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to compensate somewhat for the markets they've lost because of the trade disputes with Canada and Mexico and China. I mean, Vermont farmers export a lot of product, you know, to those markets. And they were supposed to get the equivalent of 12 cents per 100 pounds of milk produced. They got one payment in November, but they did not get their December payment because of the shutdown. And the total on average for farmers in the state was about $3,600 So they've only gotten half of that. And as the CEO of the St. Albans Co-op put it, it's not a whole lot of money, but every little bit helps. And,
right.
You know, the last thing they need is yet another hit. Also, the Farm Service Agency is shut down, so farmers with loans are affected. And everyday Vermonters are affected because the USDA has this rural development agency that makes home loans to people who aren't farmers. And those loans are in limbo. There's a colleague of mine here at the Free Press who was right in the middle of trying to close one of these loans, and now everything's up in the air. So the effects are, you know, they just wide-ranging and with no end in sight to this shutdown, at least at this point.
Yeah, you know, so Margaret, who I mentioned earlier, who was writing in, said she feels like people don't seem to care until it directly affects them and don't necessarily have a sense of what a hardship this is for many people in Vermont and beyond. Do you think that's true? Do you think Vermonters are finally attuned to what their neighbors are feeling and the effects of this shutdown writ large?
Well, I would put that on human nature.
Yeah.
I wouldn't single out Vermonters. That's how people are. I mean, let's face it. You know, I'm not saying people are bad or anything like that, but in their everyday lives, things tend to get their attention when it's a direct effect. So I agree with her. I think she's right. And I mean, people have said that, haven't they, about the war, you know, in Iraq. So it's not hard to believe that she's feeling that way.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, so one other sector that we're not going to talk to today, but we've been hearing in the national news that the military branch that's not being paid because of the government shutdown is the Coast Guard. Now,
Vermont
doesn't have any ocean coast, but we do have members of the Coast Guard. Are they going to get paid?
No. Well, no.
Yeah.
We did talk to them, they were paid on December 31st. But their next paycheck is on January 15th, and they won't get that check unless the shutdown ends. And, you know, they continue to work. Obviously, they do critical work on the lake and elsewhere. And Peter Welch mentioned TSA personnel at the airport in Burlington, who he says he knows them well because he sees them every week, you know, and they're not getting their paychecks. And as he put it, they have child care, fuel bills, rent and mortgages to pay, you know, like, don't we all? And it's very few people can miss a paycheck.
Well, Dan, I appreciate you helping to start us off here and talk about some of the effects that you're seeing in your reporting for the Free Press. Thanks for your time.
Oh, you bet, Jane. Thanks.
Dan D'Ambrosio is a business reporter for the Burlington Free Press, and you can see his reporting. We'll put a link up at vpr.net. We're talking about the government shutdown and how it's affecting people in Vermont. Taylor tweeted out to say, breweries can't register new products with the government during the shutdown. Deja Blue says, my husband is an essential DHS ICE employee heading into week 3 of working with no pay. I work for a nonprofit. The prospect of living long-term on just my salary makes me nervous. And Lucy says, I lost a piano tuning this week. Customer canceled all non-essential expenses until the shutdown is over. It was a U.S. forestry employee. Really has been wanting this tuning, but was waiting until drying out was at maximum of the piano. Now we have to wait until spring or skip it entirely. That means I pay 10% less to the IRS. So Lucy, not directly a furloughed or working with no pay, but finding that certainly in terms of her business, getting less pay from people who can't spend the money. Stephen also says, not as directly affected as those whose livelihoods are. In my work to integrate science research in policy, I see the shutdown negatively impact federally funded research, science advisors, and the capacity for evidence-based decision-making. Scott's calling in from Burlington. Hey, Scott, how about you? Are you feeling the effects?
Hi, Jane. Thanks for taking the call. Sort of an afterthought in all of the discussion around this. We hear about 700,000 or 800,000 federal employees who are being furloughed. These are folks who aren't working and aren't collecting paychecks, but they will. They will be paid their salary for this time that they're down, but
Assuming the Congress says that in every previous shutdown, the Congress has made those employees whole.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Not a guarantee, but so, probably.
So at least as many federal contractors are working. I happen to have a personal services contract with the federal government that I invoice and bill hourly for. And the folks in my situation are losing income. We will not be paid for this time off, basically just taking weeks and months, perhaps, without pay. And that's an impact on our family, and it's certainly an impact on all the other folks in the same situation. And I was wondering if, in the course of your talking to experts today, if you can get a sense of how many of these contractors are out there. I know in the agency that I work with, the U.S. government, at least it's a one-to-one ratio employees to personal services contractors. And what the overall impact, I'm guessing, just guessing if it's a one-to-one ratio of federal employees to contractors out there, that $1 billion is not going into the economy for every week that we are in shutdown. It's probably way more than that. And as another person pointed out, that's lost tax revenue and additionally to the U.S. government. And given all this, just, you know, end this on, despite what we're all going through, we just don't give in to this guy.
And by this guy, I assume you're talking about the president, your dislike for President Trump. Well, Scott, I really appreciate you calling in and raising this question. I don't know that we'll be able to get an answer to you in this show of how many contract employees are working with the federal government in Vermont and won't be getting paid and won't be getting paid back. But I'm glad that you were here to raise it as somebody dealing with this personally, because that is one of the big issues, that even if government employees are eventually made whole, those who contract with the government or have other ways that they interact with government employees. Maybe that's, you know, maybe you run a service business that relies on government employees coming in to buy meals and you're losing revenue. And as you said, Scott, that is not revenue that is going to be paid back by the federal government. Before we go to the Burlington Airport to hear about what's happening there, I want to get another call in. Julie is with us from Williston. Hi, Julie. What's your experience?
Hi there. So my best friend and her husband and their three-year-olds are in the process of being stationed in South Korea from here in the U.S.
And is this with the U.S. military?
The problem is, they are not in the Coast Guard, so they're in a branch of military that fortunately is being paid. However, when you get stationed overseas or really anywhere off the contiguous 48 states, you know, your household goods are limited by weight and they go in several phases. And this includes one of their vehicles. And so they're about to leave in the next 48 hours for South Korea. And they are not sure whether or not their stuff, their belongings, including stuff for their child, are going to get there when they will be there. And if it'll be like a month or if it'll be, because it's going by container ship. So it's not that it's just people aren't getting paid, which of course is very serious. It's that, you know, our troops and our military families who are giving their livelihood literally, to protect this country can't even have basic household supplies because politicians can't get their you know what together. So it's just, my heart goes out to all of them. It's one thing to be an adult and not have stuff, but having a 3.5-year-old.
Yeah, Julie, I hear you, and I really appreciate you raising that. That was not something that occurred to me that that there would be, you know, that this particular situation with military families being stationed and not having their stuff. But you start to see as you pull this apart how many pieces are connected. And this is just a partial government shutdown. I was thinking about all the effects that we'd be seeing on a larger scale as well with a greater shutdown, or even thinking of local government shutdowns or the risk we had last year of a potential state government shutdown. So certainly it's helpful, I think, to have this all collated in one place where you start to see all of these different ways that it starts to kick in. Donna writes in from Lunenburg to say her son is in the Coast Guard and not getting paid. And Donna wonders, why are the politicians getting paid if my son isn't? Let's go to Nicholas Longo here. Nicholas is the deputy director of aviation for the state's largest airport, Burlington International, and he's with us now. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Jane. Great to be here.
So one of the things that we keep hearing in other stories is that, of course, TSA workers, federal TSA workers, are deemed essential. They have to work, but they're not getting paid for it at the moment. And we're hearing nationally that many of them are calling in sick. They can't afford to work without pay, or they don't want to, which is certainly a reasonable feeling. Is that happening at Burlington?
Not that we've noticed so far, and I just spoke with the director of the TSA here at the airport just yesterday about this. Not that we've seen so far. Yes, it's being reported at those larger airports, and boy, do we sympathize with these agencies. And it's not just TSA at our airport that's being impacted. There's many federal agencies working without pay and or furloughed, mainly administrative folks that are impacted.
So we're not seeing the sort of major calling in sick, but how is BTV being affected then by the government shutdown?
Sure. There's really two avenues that's happening, but the indirectly, okay? So indirectly, like you've stated, the TSA agencies, that's our first line right there. That's who all of our passengers go through for the security checkpoints, of course. And those folks are being impacted with no pay. Nothing that we've seen has delayed or canceled any of the flights, nor that we see into the foreseeable future.
So you're not even seeing flights getting delayed from other locations because of TSA issues there in other airports?
Exactly. And that's a great point, because that's really where it's going to stem from. Is it's going to come from those larger airports, and that's where we see those reports coming, calling out sick is from those larger airports, and that will come back into Burlington eventually. And we're going to do everything as an airport administrator to work with those federal entities to not allow that to happen as best as we possibly can.
Okay, so you said you're not seeing delays and you're not seeing agents calling in sick, but there are sort of other effects that are not as forward facing that you're dealing with.
Sure, and outside of the TSA agencies, we have our Federal Aviation Administration folks, the air traffic controllers, some on furlough, administrative staff, and some trainees. But most working without pay. We have a USDA wildlife biologist on site working without pay. We have
a biologist. Is that a person who takes seagulls or pigeons off the runway?
That's
or
exactly
deals with
the animals? Right. It's a fascinating job. Maybe a story for another time.
Yeah.
But a very fascinating job. But I guess the overall point is just at our airport alone, at Burlington's airport, right here in our region, there's so many effects. And listening to the previous callers and guests, it truly is that waterfall effect of many, many different things happening.
One thing that you've told us is going to be impacted is that the Federal Aviation Administration noise maps for the airport, which people are very eager to see because these have a lot to do with the F-35 noise. That these are actually going to be delayed?
Correct. Yeah, and that is one of the direct impacts that's happening to us right now. We've been working for many, many months with both town leadership surrounding the airport and the county on completing these noise exposure maps, which ultimately are going to help us get federal funding for noise mitigation. And one of those impacts is while we can still coordinate with our regional federal folks, which is surprising. Again, they're working without pay. But the folks that are on furlough and the folks that we need answers from to continue this mapping process are in Washington, D.C. at the Federal Aviation Administration headquarters. And that's where that delay is going to come from. So with this whole budgetary process down in D.C., this does impact our noise exposure map process and any of our noise mitigation programs.
Well, we'll be keeping an eye on what's happening at the airport, assuming this shutdown continues. If it continues, we're hitting day 21 tomorrow. Nick Longo is Deputy Director of Aviation Administration at Burlington International Airport. Nicholas, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Oh, thank you very much.
VPR was in touch as well with the airport in Rutland. Rutland says they have not seen much adverse impact of the government shutdown, at least so far. We're talking about the government shutdown today. We're looking at how Vermonters are affected and hearing from some of you who have very personal stories about what this means for you, what this means for family members and friends, people that you are keeping an eye on here as we head towards 3 weeks of a government shutdown. Interesting to hear how many different Vermonters and how many different sectors are feeling the pain here. We have a note from one listener who wanted to tell us about an experience trying to buy a new car. Richard in North Ferrisburg says, you know, one of the things that happens is if you're trying to trade in your car for a new model, the dealer offers a $500 rebate from the manufacturer to retired veterans, but you have to submit your certificate of release or discharge from active duty. So you apply to the National Personnel Records Center in St. Louis, Missouri for a copy. Routine matter, right? Unfortunately, Richard writes, the NRPC is closed because of the shutdown. The result? No form, no rebate, no trade-in. End of the world, he says, of course not, but another reminder that our government exists to serve us, and when it is shut down, it affects all of us. And Richard said he was the one trying to look for that car loan. We also heard from Liz Scharf, a financial coach for Capstone Community Action, which is a nonprofit in Washington, Orange, and Lamoille counties that helps people with their finances. Liz has been on the show several times, and she said, to us, some of my financial counseling clients can't access USDA Rural Development housing counselors regarding their home loans. One client received notice of intent to foreclose and sent in money, but USDA Rural Housing is not accepting payments due to the shutdown. Today, we're looking at some of the local impacts of the government shutdown, now in its 20th day. Now, I mentioned people are struggling to try to figure out how to pay their bills in some cases, what they're going to do to try to cover the bridge between now and when they get paid again. And financial institutions have some leeway and some ability to suspend certain rules and protocols in a situation like this. Joining me right now is Yvonne Garand, Chief Brand and Marketing Officer for Vermont State Employees Credit Union, VSECU. Yvonne, it's nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Jane.
So last week, I think it was, maybe even before the start of the year, is it 2 weeks ago now, VSECU announced that it had a special member emergency loan for people who are feeling the effects of the government shutdown. What is this loan?
Yes. So the emergency loan is a benefit program for our members, and it is a $1,500 loan that was intentionally designed to fill the gap regarding lost wages. Actually, our very first loan was taken out on December 31st.
Hmm. And you designed this, as you said, to cover lost wages. I think that you looked at it at, you know, what would be the average lost wages in, was it one paycheck that you were trying to think of?
Yes. So we actually developed this program last year. I heard you just mention a little while ago the anticipation that we could have had a Vermont government shutdown last year. So when we understood that that was a possibility, because our founding members are state employees, recognizing that there could potentially be 10,000 state employees who might not receive their paycheck, that informed us that we needed to get ahead of that curve. So last summer is when we actually developed this program. And at that time, it was developed where we did just a quick and dirty calculation, and we tried to identify what is the average take-home pay for Vermont state employees or hourly state employees, which informed the $1,500. So that loan amount really was devised to fill the gap missing, you know, that one paycheck. And as you said earlier, you know, now we're going, you know, ending 3 weeks of this government shutdown, partial shutdown, going into a possibly fourth, fifth, sixth week, who knows. So recognizing that this solution really was meant to fill a short-term need, I'm certain that my colleagues and coworkers, we will be reassessing to see if there's something else that we need to do to help our Vermont members.
And just a little bit more on this loan, this member emergency loan. It is for members of the credit union,
yes.
and they could get this $1,500 loan. And I think one of the things that you were trying to do with it was to not suspend the rules, but make the process quicker and easier,
yes.
so that people could get that loan quickly,
yes.
rather than have to, you know, wait 30 days or wait 15
right.
days before getting it.
Right. Anyone listening who's applied for a loan, you know that you have to supply information. There might be a little bit of a lag. Typically, we try to respond within a day. But for this particular loan, we can say yes immediately if you can provide us evidence that you've been furloughed, you are a member in good standing with us, and if you meet a minimum credit score requirement. Those three things, it's an immediate yes. Now, anyone who is outside of that criteria does not mean that you're not eligible. It just means that we might have to do a further intake and get more information. So the loan is for existing members, also for anyone who has a need. they can join VSECU and take advantage of this loan.
I know that you're speaking on behalf of VSECU, but as I said, financial institutions do have some leeway. There are other banks that, you know, right at the header of their webpage will say, are you a furloughed employee? Get in touch. There are things we can do. What can financial institutions do? And what should people who say, oh, my God, you know, for one reason or another, I'm feeling the effects of this and not sure when it's going to end. What do I do? What are some steps they can take?
So most banks and credit unions provide some flexibility. And I do just want to, you know, share that what I'm about to share are things that banks and credit unions can do or should do regardless of this particular crisis. So here are some of the things that we can do with a natural disaster, a financial crisis, family crisis. If you have a loan, ask your financial institution if they will allow you to defer your monthly payments. Many organizations will allow you to defer 1, 2, or 3 months. Ask if you can make interest-only payments on your loans. Some institutions, and at VSECU, we offer skip a payment where you can skip your payment.
And then it just adds back on at the end?
And then it will just add back on the end. Many organizations will charge a monthly fee to take advantage of that skip a payment for displaced workers under this scenario. We are not charging that fee. Also, if individuals have savings tied up in a certificate of deposit, which usually will penalize you if you withdraw early prior to the maturity, institutions can waive those fees. So if anyone listening out there is impacted and you have savings in a certificate of deposit, use your voice and ask, can I please access my money? Would you please be willing to waive the penalty fee under these circumstances?
So it doesn't hurt to ask. You should ask your financial institutions, your lenders, what they can do for you in this kind of situation. You said the first person took advantage of this particular emergency loan on December 31st. Do you know how many members have taken advantage of this?
I do know. I don't want to share for confidentiality purposes, but what I can tell you is that the need does exist, that there's demand out there, and we are providing these loans to Vermont members.
And what happens if they can't pay that back? If it, you know, if it stretches on for months, if you need a $1,500 bridge loan and then you're find that you're out for 3 months, you're going to have a hard time paying that back.
Yeah, you are. Our goal is to try to say yes as quickly as we can, understanding these extraordinary circumstances. And not just with this circumstance, but any circumstance, we will always work with the member, with the consumer. As I said earlier, there are different levers that we can pull to try to help people to get back up on their feet financially.
Well, I appreciate you telling us about this, both this particular emergency loan, but also things that people can do with whatever financial institution they're banking with or working with, because it's an important thing to know how to advocate for yourself in times of stress. Yvonne Garand is Chief Brand and Marketing Officer for the Vermont State Employees Credit Union, VSECU. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me in.
And again, today we are talking about what's happening to Vermonters in the government shutdown, how it's affecting you. We're hearing from some of you. Honora Horton is the executive director of Hunger Free Vermont and has some info for us on people who are receiving SNAP benefits, Three Squares benefits as well. Honora, nice to talk with you.
Hi, Jane. Thank you so much for taking my call.
So people have been worried that if they're receiving food assistance from the federal government, that could be cut off. Not right away, though, is one of the messages that we should be getting out to people, right?
Yes. So they're February Three Squares Vermont benefits will be issued. But the important thing for people to know, there's a few important things for people to know. One is that those benefits have to be issued by January 21st because of the rules of the continuing resolution. And so everyone who is currently receiving Three Squares Vermont benefits, you are going to receive your February benefits by January 21st. And it's important to understand that those are your February benefits. It's not a supplement to your January benefits. And so one challenge people are going to experience is needing to budget accordingly for benefits for February, and they will be coming early.
And there's something
really
else you wanted to tell
thing.
Us? Yeah.
No. Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes. However, there are some people who are going to be immediately affected by the shutdown when it comes to Three Squares Vermont benefits. And those are people who are currently perhaps in the process of applying for Three Squares Vermont benefits right now, or who have who are in the process of recertifying. They're recertifying because every 6 months, if you're receiving Three Squares Vermont benefits, you need to recertify. So if that applies to any of your listeners today, it's very important that any documentation that they've been asked to provide as part of the application process or the recertification process to DCF, they must get that documentation in by next Wednesday, the 16th.
Good. Well, that is really important to know. And Anora, in case people are, you know, sort of running through quickly for them, we'll put that information or a link to your information about that on today's show page, the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. That's really important information. I'm really glad you called in. I'm going to stop you there because we have one more guest that we want to get to as we sort of do this round robin of places that are affected. That was Anora Horton, Executive Director of Hunger Free Vermont, with some really important information for recipients of Three Squares and SNAP benefits. And again, we will put that information up at vpr.net. We do have one more person we want to talk to here in this show. Breck Bowden is professor and chair of watershed science and planning at the Rubenstein School of Environment and Natural Resources at UVM. Breck, thank you for being on the show today.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for the chance to chat with you.
Well, and we just have a couple of minutes, so I'll keep you short because so many different Vermonters have been telling us about ways that they're affected or worries. But, you know, research is one of those areas where the federal government really is an important piece for academic institutions of how that research is funded. But often those grants are quarterly or yearly or, you know, are already funded. So how's it working at UVM?
Well, what is happening is, just by to put some perspective on it, we have about 114 pending proposals and grant applications in a variety of agencies funded by the federal government that are currently closed. So those projects will not be evaluated and, of course, can't be funded. There are another 200 active projects that are funded by these agencies. And if we have a substantial shutdown, those may not get supplemental awards as the annual awards that you just referred to. I want to point out that most of these awards are often multi-investigator awards. There'll be more than one faculty member. There's typically technicians and graduate students and undergraduate students who are funded by those projects. And so just at the University of Vermont, you have a body of 300 projects that might be funding 2, 3, 4, 5 people working together. So there's a large number of people who could be affected by these disruptions.
And the university itself is actually foregoing about $1 million every month that it was expected to receive?
Yeah, Brian Prindle, who's the director of our sponsored programs administration here at University of Vermont, supplied me with some information that it's not so much that we are foregoing it permanently, but at the moment there is, and into the future, $1 million a month that is not coming to the university that we expected to come to support research.
Breck, what about your own research? Are you affected?
I am. It's not affecting me directly, the personal research that I'm engaged in, quite yet. I receive some funding from the National Science Foundation, for example. However, in another few weeks, that project is the first year of that project will end. I'm expecting an award to come through, and if it does not, then I won't have spending authority to continue that work. And some of that work is long-term monitoring work.
Well, Breck Bowden is professor and chair of watershed science and planning at the Rubenstein School of Environment and Natural Resources at UVM. Professor Bowden, I appreciate you telling us, even briefly, a little bit about how UVM is affected and how you yourself are in your research. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you.
If you're affected by the government shutdown, we'd still love to hear your thoughts. You can write to us at vermontedition@vpr.net. You can tweet at Vermont Edition or at Jane Lindholm, and we are certainly keeping all of you in mind.